ready.
Are you sure you're ready?
Mic check.
I'm ready.
Yeah, mic check.
Mike?
Yeah,
where's
Mike? Where are you?
I want to know what you're going to check on, Mike.
That's right.
We've determined that we don't go that way, but there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
All right, your turn. You know I'm going to leave that in.
Yes, check. Mike, check. Hello?
Yeah, that'll work. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I want to pump Randy's a little bit more.
Do you need me to get a little closer to it?
No, you're fine, man. Okay, here we go. Show open.
Phrasing, by the way.
Oh, man.
We're men in tights, tight, tight.
Well, you know, I always like catching everybody off guard, yeah. So that worked out quite well.
It pops in there really quick.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that we have Randy Collins, right?
Randy Large.
Randy Large, yeah.
We already covered this in another episode.
What? My memory?
Yeah, both of us.
So I have Randy Collins and Ken Large.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. That's exactly right.
Humor me, okay? I'm the oldest one here. But anyway, we're kind of glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad you volunteered to subject yourself to this. I know you've been ridden with Ken, and that's scary enough as it is, and yet you still wanted to come and do this.
I know.
So
some people never learn.
That's the moral. It just gets doubled up with the two of us.
Buy your books and buy your books. All you want to do is eat the covers.
Yeah. Right? That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, I'm going to kind of, since you know him well, I'm going to kind of just let you, I'm just going to throw it in your lap, man. You just, what are we going to talk about?
Well, what are we going to talk about?
It's the last show of the season, so it's got to be, you got to make it smoking hot.
Randy and I have covered a lot of issues, of things. Yeah. I don't know, maybe something, since this is kind of a man show, maybe male versus female, masculine versus feminine, like the whole philosophy around that. I can see your gears turning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going on.
This conversation every day.
Yeah.
With somebody.
So what are your thoughts on that? It's open-ended.
You know, as I get a little older, I tend to try to simplify the way I see things and to get it down to its simplest measure. And as a business consultant over the years, I've actually tried to incorporate a lot of different simpler concepts into how I work with people. And one of those simple concepts is, you know, masculine and feminine. And if you look at yin and yang, you know, it's kind of a balance in life. And I think what we want to shoot for is a balance between masculine and feminine. And when we're balanced, things are well. When they're imbalanced, things are not well. And so even when I go into an organization, when I still had my active consulting business, I'm now working for another company, I would try to diagnose it in terms of what was the level of masculinity versus femininity and what would be the right balance for this organization. And you'd be surprised at what you can find when you look at it that way and know how to diagnose some of the problems and how to address
them. And so when you say that, because you're still in your description, you're simplifying it.
Right.
But this is kind of interpersonal relationships, that energy within yourself.
Correct.
That energy and the organization as a living entity.
Right. Or even a culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'm all about the culture. And you know, we've talked about when you say masculine and feminine, that doesn't necessarily mean male or female.
Right? No, it does not. It's an energy.
Mm-hmm. An energy.
Yeah.
I think I heard that the first time. That kind of makes it, I don't know, it makes it kind of like that, like your mind being blown. If you stop and really think about what we as a species are doing and the difference between us and the basic animal, we still have those animal urges.
Right.
I mean, deep
animal urges.
Yeah. Really, yeah. You can tell it's been a while since I've had any. But That's I guess that's what I'm going with is that I like being a male, you know, but I also know that I have some
that word.
Yeah, feminine side to me. I have a feminine side, and I touch it as often as I can.
Right.
Because that's the only female contact I can
get. Get those hands nice and soft.
Louise and Gertrude, right?
That's right. I knew her as Rosie, but okay.
Yeah, well, Rosie works too, but that's right. An old, old school.
Well, I'm dating myself now.
Yeah.
Rosie's been overused.
That's right.
My girlfriend, Rosie Palm.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you are dating yourself. but, you know, it's, for me, it's learning how to control those urges is what separates us between animal kind, and even though we are an animal, we're just a little bit more sophisticated, but we still have very, well, I do, and, you know, I'm 60-something years old, 66 to be exact, and, you know, I still have those animal urges, I guess is the only way that I know how to put it. But, yeah, I can really, putting it in the perspective you're talking about, I can really, I don't know, man, it kind of hits a chord.
So what happens on a personal level, an interpersonal level, and an organizational level when those things are out of balance? Like,
ooh.
Well,
I could tell you were thinking of a great question because the smoke was roaring out of your ears.
That's just a normal state, man. It's just constant smoke.
But and I wanted you to answer that, but I can say that I never looked at it that way because I managed people as well. You know, I had 60-something employees at one time, male and female, and I think I've said before it didn't matter who was, you know, if they were good, it didn't matter whether they're male or female to me. So.
Right.
Go ahead and elaborate, or go ahead and answer what he had said. It really got my curiosity.
So on a on an individual level, you know, I have always had a fairly strong masculine energy, and so I'm driven, I'm focused, I'm not as you know, if I'm in the zone, I'm not really aware of others as much as I could be. And so I have to try to raise up my feminine, which is, I think, more along the lines of awareness and awareness of other people and relationship. And so I try to balance individually, you know, my need to accomplish something, to demonstrate competence, to strive for a goal with, hey, there's a lot of other people around that are going to help me do this and that I can work with and help develop them. That's the feminine energy. So I would say that the masculine is more individual driven and the feminine is more communal, more, you know, hey, let's make sure that we include everyone in this process type of an approach. And I think where it kind of evolved from is if you think back when we were, you know, tribal or in clans, you know, the men would necessarily go out and hunt because they were physically more able to do that. And they had a goal, right, which is we have to get food to feed our family. And so they would identify, okay, the best person with a bow and arrow or the best person with a spear would be the point. And because that would increase our odds, we formed a pyramid of competency. And the best guys were up there in the front because we didn't say, okay, Joe really sucks at the spear, but, you know, we want him to feel better about himself, so we're going to put him in front, right?
But we want to eat tonight.
That's exactly right. So we were focused on a goal, right? And we were competence-driven, so we wanted the best guy in front. Well, while the guys are out there doing that, the women are still in camp or in the cave, right? And they're gathering, and they're more relational, right? They have to get along with each other. If there's not harmony in the camp, there's going to be problems, right? So their priority seemed to be more about getting along with each other and making sure that people felt respected and that everyone was kind of equal and nobody was rising above everybody else because that would cause disharmony. So I think those, we kind of branched the male and the female. You know, the male focused on goals and driven and that masculine energy of kind of take on the world versus the feminine energy, which is more about, I think, harmony.
Man.
Right.
And nowadays, the way society has evolved. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's been for the best. Not that I don't think that women should be barefoot and pregnant and at home cooking, because that has changed a bundle. Right. That used to be the standard role. I mean, in the household when you grow up, kids born in the 50s like myself, maybe even in the 60s, the standard role was the woman was at home doing the housework. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I think men discovered before men did, and why they didn't get let them exceed in the work world is they were afraid of the competition, because it is a very competitive world now, especially when it comes to job titles and people getting in those particular job titles, and a woman is just as qualified as a man to do those jobs, and sometimes that hurts our testosterone.
Well, I work with a lot of highly competent women, and they, I think, have it harder in a man's world
than
men do. I still do, because mm-hmm. I think there are instincts that come natural that they, for example, one of the women that I coach has got a pretty high position in an organization, and so she wants to get along with the guys and be able to fit in a little bit better. And sometimes she doesn't just feel that natural camaraderie because, you know, she comes from a different place. And, you know, we'll joke around and have fun, and we'll even cut each other down, right? And we all laugh about it and we don't take it personally. But a lot of times if you'll do the same thing in an environment with women doing that with each other, they really take it personally, and it's hurtful.
Right.
And so to have that shift.
You don't think men do the same thing? I had men that were the biggest babies, that I mean, more so than women.
Yeah, they were high and feminine.
But like, maybe that's how it's evolved, maybe.
Well, I think it has. And I mean, what's happening in our culture right now, I believe, is that we were probably a little bit too far out of balance with the masculine having all the power, and now it's kind of switched to more of the feminine. And so I feel like the masculine is under constant attack. We're being constantly criticized for being men.
I agree with that.
And there's plenty of reasons why, right, men are deserving of criticism, but it seems to just kind of go over the top. All the messages you get from media and things are I think, negative towards the masculine. And so, and it's having a result. I mean, you know, there's wall-to-wall pussies everywhere. Talking about men. Yeah. And so it's like, where are the real men? And you know, I think a lot of women miss that. You know, they miss that masculine energy. Yeah. And I think that's a reason they're attracted to bad boys, right?
Yeah.
Oh, solid point.
Like Ken. Ken is a bad boy.
Yeah, but
come
he's
on, Ken, tell me I'm a bad boy.
Yeah. Well, we all
just
know
in case
you're
women
a bad
listen
boy.
To this podcast.
Well, I have a question. Do you... You were talking about this lady that you work with. Is she a boss?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and I need you to be blatantly honest with me. Have you ever felt threatened by her?
No.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. She makes you feel comfortable and...
Well, she doesn't make me feel anything. I mean, it's...
Do you like working? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean... Hopefully she'll never listen. But
no. Well, no. I mean, I work with her every day. I don't feel threatened by anyone.
No.
If somebody put a gun to my head, I'd feel threatened.
Possibly. Right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm at a point in my life, and I've gotten to a level that, hey, if somebody better comes along for this position, they should have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Male or female.
Male or female. Yeah. It doesn't matter, because for me... I've gone on a hiatus with my consulting business to work for an organization that, and I've been there for just over two and a half years. If someone better comes along, or I'm always trying to coach someone to be able to take my spot. So, you know, I feel I've been self-employed for 30 years, worked a lot of different careers and different jobs.
We're going to talk about some of those in the second half.
But so I feel like after all that experience, I'm going to always land on my feet. And so why would I be threatened or worry about anybody else? And if I put the organization's needs first, mm-hmm. if somebody better comes along, I want them. And if they're better than me, which is pretty close to impossible, but I mean, it could happen, right?
I mean, on paper, somebody could work that out. Yeah.
That's right. But I want them to be my boss, you know? I want them to teach me what they can teach me.
Right.
And they don't even have to be my boss to teach me. I learn from everybody I work with every day, you know?
Do you train other people in your position?
You train people to train people.
I influence people in my position, yeah. And so training, you know, I've got people that do the training for the organization. I more try to focus on influencing the people that report to me and get the outcomes I want and develop the skills that they need.
It's a confidence level for sure. I mean, I can totally relate with what you're saying. I mean, it makes me feel like I did stuff right too as time, especially working with, didn't matter to me whether male or female. And when I supervised them, I would tell them, you know, you can take my job, man, more power to you.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let me work myself out of this job.
Yeah.
And you take it. So I kind of get that impression you feel the same way.
I do. And it's a mindset, because when you have the opposite of that mindset, you hold people back.
Yeah.
And I've been in that position before where people wanted to kind of keep me under their thumb. That's
hold
one
on,
of the
let's
reasons.
Back up. Because in my opinion, and it doesn't matter male or female, but what you said about holding people back, that mm-hmm. mindset, both sexes do it in supervisory positions because they do feel threatened.
Yeah,
right.
And to me, that doesn't make the best boss.
No.
Insecurity
right.
is a problem in everything, right? In relationship, in business. People that are insecure are a problem.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing I've seen, and some may argue with it, but one of the things that makes it tougher for women in business is other women.
Oh, sure.
I think more so than men that are insecure. I think that they tend to pick each other apart. And so a woman has to turn off.
A lot more critical,
that.
You think?
Pardon. Oh, yeah. I think.
Very specifically targeted towards other women.
Yeah, you see a woman rising up within an organization, and all of a sudden you start hearing rumors about what she did to get there, right? The assumption isn't competence.
You don't
from
see
other
that.
Women.
You don't see right. that with men. I think men do the same thing. I mean, I've had men working for me that I feel like
with
were
men,
catty
might,
as hell when
we
it
might
came to
say,
that stuff.
You know, oh, he's a kiss ass or whatever.
Well,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's a whole new level with that women have to go through and assumptions that are thrown upon them
right.
that make it really hard, and they have to kind of ignore that. And so if their nature is to have harmony, and somebody's throwing disharmony in there, what are they going to do, right? And a lot of them actually kind of lower their ambition because they don't want to make waves. And you know, my career has been built on making waves. That's what I do. So
it's in your logo.
It is in my logo. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Right. We're gonna give some credit to the our wonderful sponsors, and since. Mr. Collins over here is a brand new spot. I want to play that for.
Is it in there?
It's in there, man.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to hear it.
I think I've heard it before, though.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Can you hang around another 15, 20 minutes with us, Randy?
You bet.
All right.
Oh, hi there. I need some marketing. Who do you recommend?
Ken Collins Marketing.
Well, okay then. I'll probably just get a hold of KenCollinsMarketing.com.
Hello. My name's David Mills, owner-operator of Inner West Concepts, which makes me the executive producer, director, chief bottle washer, and co-host of some wonderful podcasts, my flagship one being The Wake Up Call. I can assist you in setting up or even fine-tuning your current podcast. My team of two can even do radio commercials for your organization. Check out my website, innerwestconcepts.com. I've been getting the word out since 1970. Yes, I'm that old. Let us help you spread your word. Among other things, check it out today. InterWestConcepts.com.
Don't worry, be happy.
Well, I know you can't hear it, but we have a music bed that's playing right now. But
awesome.
Yeah, we have a new music bed, which will all change. We've only got two shows.
We won't have another show until February. Right.
February.
That's kind of our season.
I'm following your lead on that.
All right.
The Ken's...
strictly personal reasons. Tank. That's the only reason for that season.
I kind of like it, honestly. I don't think I've ever taken a hiatus of a couple of months, though.
It gives me November and December to run around doing family stuff and then back to work in January to prep for February.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll try to follow your lead.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's find out a little bit about Randy. Where are you from originally, Randy?
I grew up in Mammoth, Arizona.
Mammoth? Where the? Mm-hmm. Where's Mammoth? I've never
Isn't
heard of
extinct?
Mammoth.
Mammoth,
yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we all said it was because they found some mammoth bones there, but it wasn't. It was named after a mammoth copper reserve there. It's a copper mining district just about 45 miles northeast of Tucson. Small
Is it between
Hispanic community.
Phoenix and Tucson?
No, it's more east. So it's, do you know where Globe is? It's between Tucson and Globe in that area. So the San Pedro River Valley. Oh, yeah.
Still hot as hell. 120 degrees in the summertime.
It gets that hot. Yeah. And I think back to those days as a child hiking in the hills, and I never even took water with me.
Right.
It was just you get used to that heat and you just go out and hike. You know,
I didn't grow up in Arizona, but I grew up here, mm-hmm. and the summers were always hot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They don't seem to be as hot. Anyway, the summers were always hot, and then I joined the Air Force, and I ended up in Saudi Arabia. And we were getting barked at constantly mm-hmm. about the amount of water we needed to drink. And I'm like, get off of me about the water. Right. I am fine.
Right.
I'm a desert rat. I'm totally fine. Leave me alone.
Oh, they wanted you drinking water.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe they were barking.
They were just constant about, you need to drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water. I'm like, I can't possibly drink that much water. Right. I didn't grow up that way.
I'm not a water fan.
No.
Yeah. So I forced myself to drink it, but...
Oh, well, I'll give you a little tip. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to charge you a penny for this, Randy.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you going to charge me for it?
Dollar.
Oh, we need to get him on more often. I like the way he thinks.
Right?
Yeah. Nothing.
Okay.
Just so you know. Now I forgot what the hell I was going to say.
Something about water?
Oh, I drink. I'm trying to lose weight. I drink that too.
It's like I used to drink. I still drink, but I used to drink too.
I don't drink anymore.
Okay.
I don't drink any less. But on the water, I try to drink a gallon a day, and I like it cold. And I know that they say that you should drink it warm because it metabolizes faster.
I've heard drink it cold because it's makes you burn more calories.
Well, that's what I thought too. Right. But anyway, what I'll do is I put fresh lemon juice. I squeeze mm-hmm. a lemon into each half gallon of water that I drink. Mm-hmm. So it takes that little. All of a sudden, now you're not thinking about drinking water. You're thinking about drinking diluted lemonade.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So it kind of changes and helps you get that water down because you do need it. I mean, you need to at least have, I don't know, for your size, probably at least a half a gallon of water a day or mm-hmm. eight ounce glasses. I mean, I could really get technical if you
mm-hmm.
want.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell I'm serious.
How many
the audience.
Bathroom trips does that mean?
Well, and, it didn't change it at nighttime once I got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
My prostate has always caused me to have at least one bathroom trip at night. I mm-hmm. mean, are you at that age where you have that issue? Do you have to get up once at night?
No, not really. Sometimes.
Well,
but does if somebody's massaging your prostate, does that solve that problem? Or
right? I mean, that's where...
Just ask for a friend.
For a friend.
That's right.
I
got David speechless.
Yeah. I saw it.
That's hard to do, too.
It is hard to do.
So guess what? You're now a regular guest. And we will be in charge of massaging prostates.
That's right.
Holy cow. Boy, that went...
South.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, so you put me a loss for words. All right, how did you get to New Mexico? How did you get to Farmington?
Well, I lived in Mammoth till I was 14, moved to Phoenix, graduated high school there, and then came up here for work in, I think it was 83. So...
been here a while.
Yeah. I traveled around a bit, started a career here, and then traveled around for a company, and then had an opportunity to decide where I wanted to settle down, and it was here. I really like Farmington.
Well, you're a photographer too, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to let that out?
Sure, you bet.
Because I think at one time, probably the studio that you were running was, I would say, probably the best in the Four Corners area.
Well, we strove to be that. It was, there were a lot of companies out there that were high-end, and then there was the, you could go to Kmart and have your family portrait taken. So we just thought we can create a position in the market where everybody can afford it, but they can get that same high quality. So right. That's what we strove for, and I think we succeeded at it. Had it for 20 years.
Yeah, I do too. I had a studio. I had a photography studio in Texas, and that was the same way. It was, you had the Walmart picture takers or grocery store, whatever they had going on, and then you had the high end, and I tried to hit somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I hope I gave them as good as quality as the high end folks were given. And I know that, is it all right to give the name?
Sure.
Sherry Studios, some of the best pictures I've seen.
And, okay, thank you.
Didn't ever do any for me personally, but did some for relatives and friends that that I have still at my house.
Yeah.
You know, I rarely go to the mall, but had to run over there doing some Halloween shopping type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And on the rare occasion I go into the mall, I still, to this day, I walk by and I'm like, oh, that's where the studio was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sherry Studio and Prostate Exams. It was
right.
A great place.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has just worked himself into a position.
Just sit right here on this. And try to smile.
My.
You said no holes barred. Is that what you meant?
That's
okay. Or unbarred.
Yeah, the more risque we get, the more downloads we get.
Yes, yeah. That's so, right. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. It's too bad we don't have video because we could take our shirts off. And
oh, nobody wants to see that. Yeah. I'm keeping mine on.
For me, not after lunch, David.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, we've got just a couple of minutes left. I just want to make sure that... Is there any? I'd like to give them an opportunity. I'm going to turn it over to Ken if he's got any questions. But you be thinking about this when I give it to Ken. Anything that you would like to, any message that you would like to convey, anything you'd like to say, we're open. And if you cuss very much, I have to put an explicit thing on the when we download it to the podcast. I'm going to have to do that anyway with this because I think there's a little too much prostate talk. You guys are way too much into prostates, and you're not even old enough to have to worry about it much yet. But anyway, all right. Well, Ken, you have any other questions you'd like to ask of Mandy?
Oh, man. When are we going to start going to dinner again?
I don't know. We should do it. What was it, Thursday nights?
Yeah, it was.
We should do that again.
Yeah.
You know, if this was radio, I would tell you that you can't talk about personal crap.
Sure you can.
Yeah. But it's not really radio, so it doesn't really matter.
I don't have any questions. I mean, I could probably come up with a million of them. I'm just trying to, because you're nothing new to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have fascinating conversations.
Yeah.
That kind of scares me.
We used to meet twice a month and just chat about business, personal, everything. And so we've covered like so many topics from philosophical to downright raunchy. Yeah.
Mm.
So it's hard for me to come up with a question because I think we've covered them all.
Well, we've covered a lot for sure. Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to horn in, but the next time you guys, need an extra, a third.
Yeah.
I would like to. I just like to sit like a fly on the wall. I mean,
bring a recorder.
Yes, right. Some of the best stuff is done then.
Yeah.
So how long you guys been doing the show?
Oh, man, a month? Around about there?
Yeah, about 6 weeks. I think this... we started just in time to
close it down. It's been fun.
I remember, I don't know. How many shows do we have?
About
six, I guess.
Yeah, somewhere around
and
there.
And who's been your second best guest?
Second best?
That's right. I mean, I'm assuming.
We've only had one other guest, and he was a chef.
Ah, okay.
But we're going to have more guests.
Okay.
But yeah, you're welcome to come back. I don't want to speak for Ken, but I'm sure he's okay with it. But you're welcome to come back anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Be glad to.
He's got all kinds of crazy things in his head that are really interesting. So.
Okay, so we'll just pick a topic.
I can leave you with my four rules that I give to all my employees.
That's right. Those are good rules.
Randy's rules.
Randy's
rules.
Okay, all right, now, do we copyright these?
I have not. So, but I tell you what, I've lived them, and man, they've held up.
Okay.
So when I have an employee comes to work for me, I say, okay, if you can do these four things, I'll be happy. You know, when I hire an employee, I let them know that their primary job is to make my life easier. And I know that sounds selfish, but really, as an employer, the only way you make my life easier is taking responsibility from me. You know, I'm hiring somebody to take responsibility. I don't want to do it myself, or it's more than I can handle. So, you know, the way you make my life easier is taking responsibility from me. So that's the premise of when I bring someone on and start paying them. It's like, hey, I want you to make my life easier, but here's how they do it. Rule number one is do what you say you're going to do. So they got to be careful what they tell me they're going to do, because if they say I'm going to do this, then I fully expect them to do it, and I will hold them accountable for that commitment. Rule number two is finish what you start. So it's really frustrating to have people start something and not finish it, and then somebody else has to come behind and finish it up. So, and plus you get a really good sense of satisfaction when you actually finish what you start. Rule number three is stay busy doing productive work. So I remember walking into the studio and I'd see, you know, five employees, and I'm thinking, okay, let's see, this 30s. That's $75 an hour I'm paying these people just to stand around and talk. You know, there's always something to do. Yeah. You can learn, you can improve your skill, you can practice. So, you know, stay busy doing productive work is rule number three. And rule number four is confront problems immediately. Because, you know, if you ignore a problem, it's usually going to get worse. And most of the problems that we have that we need to confront are interpersonal problems with other people. And so if something goes wrong, it's really easy to form an image in your head of that other individual. And then you start interacting with the image in your head versus that person. And so if you confront that problem, you can build that shared understanding. And shared understandings come from misunderstandings.
Sure.
So those are my four rules. And I think that's a valuable takeaway.
Perfect.
I like it.
I like it.
I'm going to incorporate that in my management skill. I'm going to add that to my plate.
Great.
There's different ways to do different things, and I think you kind of summed it up. Plus, you know, if anybody needs any more tips, we can, for a fee, right? You will.
Just the tip. Right?
Just the tip, though. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, but I think I don't have anything. I do want to have Randy back. Yes. We started a little slow, but I think we finished good and hard.
Yeah. Strong.
I
mean,
Sorry, I couldn't resist. That's quick. All right. Ken, you got anything you want to throw out?
Man, I can't follow that.
Okay, me neither. let's close this thing. What do you say? Thanks a lot, Randy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oops. I have to learn how to push the buttons right and turn the volume back up.
Excellent to each other.
Always wear your clean underwear.